Then Jesus said to his disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil.' He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into eternal homes.'"
Welcome, everyone, to our chaos. Thank you for being here. Before I get started, I just wanted to say it is an honor and a privilege our community has to be in community with you younger friends. And they're not only over here. I just want you guys to know that. There's youth over here and everywhere. Not just the grads, but all the youth. You younger friends are not extras in this community. You're main characters with us. And you teach us things all the time. And we learn from you. So thank you for being part of our community and being our friends. And I'd like to take this time to let the younger friends go to a less boring place, to with Gina. And may you go in the spirit of our offertory music, that anyone can cook. I think that was Ratatouille. Let's give it up again for Owen over here. In the spirit of that, they let me preach, Owen, so that's good. Anyone can cook. So we have been journeying through the book of Luke. And I decided a long time ago, it's such a great idea I had back in the fall. I'm going to take the weirdest possible story Jesus told and use that as our springboard for Grad Sunday. How about that? We're going to jump into that. And I've been likening this story Jesus told to this new word I've learned that Gen Z's been teaching me. And it is, repeat after me, locinuanly. Turn to a neighbor and repeat after me, low-key, genuinely. I know, so ridiculous, isn't it? It's unnecessary, just like this story Jesus told. It feels like this for parenting, for people who are parenting children, trying to raise them to be great, honest people. This story, I'm just like, why, Jesus? Why did you tell this story? It is so ridiculous in so many ways. Locinuanly. So you have this made-up story Jesus tells about Mr. Manager. He's found out to be squandering his master's property. And the master says, "That's it. I found you out. That's it. You're done." And so he has what I would call a shrewd awakening. And I think that it's a really interesting story to put into context in many ways. So he goes out and begins to be clever, be shrewd, be courageously innovative in the face of this. All of a sudden, what's been comfortable and cozy for him has been taken from him. Maybe that's how this connects to Grad Sunday. His questioning in there sounds a lot like what maybe graduates might be asking. What am I going to do now? I can't dig. I'm not strong enough to dig. I don't want to beg in the streets. What am I going to do with my life? Maybe that's the connection here for you graduates. But it is kind of not just for graduates, it's for all of us. I think if there's something I learned in 49 years, there's this repetitive cycle of being a big fish in a small pond, and then all of a sudden a crisis, and you're welcomed to a new big lake that you've not been prepared for. And you're like, what am I going to do now? And you can respond to that new invitation in many ways. But Jesus tells a story to his disciples, who he calls the children of light, to kind of teach them a little something from the street, from the streetwise people. And there's lots of things going on in here that we should say what this story is not about. I don't think that this story is about a moral teaching on how to use money. Because it gets to that right after this story. Jesus starts talking about you can't serve both of those. You can't serve God and money. And there's a real problem there with some of his eavesdropping Pharisees. So it's not really about that. It's about something else. And I think it's found in the way he actually sums up the story. He says, for the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it's gone, they may welcome you into eternal homes. Another version says it like this: the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of light. One more version, the Message paraphrase, says it like this. I like it. It's kind of poetic. Streetwise people are smarter in this regard than law-abiding citizens. They are on constant alert, looking for angles, surviving by their wits. Be smart in the same way, but for what is right, using every adversity to stimulate you to creative survival, to concentrate your attention on the bare essentials, so you'll live, really live, and not complacently just get by on good behavior. This New Testament scholar named N.T. Wright has a couple of hot takes on this story, and I think they're interesting. I don't know if it's the only view on it, but one of them was that the Jewish audience Jesus would be talking to would have known that they would have all understood that to charge interest on a loan was like illegal. It's not something you do. And so he pitches the idea that maybe this master was just as crooked as the shrewd manager. He was like lending things in kind, so big vats of olive oil and that, so he could charge interest in the olive oil. And so the shrewd Mr. Manager says, well, I'm just going to go quickly and take what they owe him minus the interest. And to put the master kind of on his heels a little bit. Because something had to happen, because the master responds immediately when he does this dishonest activity with, wow, well done. That was awesome. Touché. And he commends him. Jesus' end of the story is that the Mr. Manager was shrewd. I don't know if that's the whole meaning of the story. N.T. Wright also says, can we just also say, wouldn't it be cool if your name would tell you what you're supposed to do with your life? This guy's name is N.T. Wright. He's like getting the, okay. What does the sexton do? It's a sexton. I was trying to think, the sexton is like a staff of a church kind of thing. I figured that's how you got your job. You just like, it's my name. Mine's Rusty Saint's Ear, okay. N.T. Wright said again, this is a parable. This is not a moral teaching on money. This is about a symbolism. There's something going on here. And when he's talking to a Jewish audience and he says there was a master, obviously they'd think that's Creator God. That's the one who's given us all the stuff. He's the one who owns the property. And then there's a manager. There's a steward. Oh, that's probably us. That's probably Israel, the children of light. We're supposed to take care of what he gave us. With that kind of symbolism, it really puts into focus the listeners, the hearers, that they have kind of failed at their job. We're kind of using the master's property for themselves. And the master calls them to account, and they have this crisis point. And Jesus' story says this crisis point for you, if you could learn from the people of this world, the children of this age, you could use this crisis point as a shrewd awakening, if you learn. I think those are great takes on this story. But one thing's for certain, Jesus tells us the meaning of his story at the end, and he says it right there. You children of light, you really should learn a few lessons from the children of this age. You really should pay attention to what they can teach you. They have something to show you. And it is this, that when you're hitting that big fish, small pond crisis, and all of a sudden, what am I supposed to do? With every milestone, with every change of life, maybe you're hitting, going from fifth grade to that sweet little elementary school to middle school, or maybe you're going from high school to a college you're hoping for job or a job or trade. But also, maybe you're knocking on the door of empty nesting or retirement or a job change. Maybe there's, for all of us, we can learn from vicariously through our graduates today that we're all in these cycles of opportunity, not just crisis. That maybe Jesus is pitching this story at us as this is an opportunity for you to learn and grow and do something more with what you've been given than you've been sitting on. To not squander it and use it just on your cozy little self, children of light, but to get innovative, get clever, get a little sense of urgency, because the future depends on it. Maybe get a little courageous about it. I've been trying to think through, like, who are the shrewdest children of light that I know? Right when I was reading through this, one of the first characters that came to my mind was Harriet Tubman. It just kind of reminds me of her urgency, that she just couldn't take it anymore herself. I think there's a quote from her, maybe. I had reasoned this out of my mind. There was one of two things I had a right to, liberty or death. If I could not have one, I would have the other, for no man should take me alive. She came to a crisis point where living in slavery was no longer possible for her. She couldn't take it anymore. That maybe her creator was calling her to something more. And so she treks 70 or 90 miles by foot to her own freedom and doesn't stop there. Comes back and helps rescue 70 other people who were enslaved, sacrificing courageously, putting her own life on the line, and doing it in a shrewd way. And kind of cool, alongside some Quakers. Doing it in a shrewd, deceptive way with this thing called the Underground Railroad. She had to use her instincts, her courage, her persistence, marathon-type conditioning. She had to use her mind, use her whole self to give away what she had been given for the sake of others and a future for them. Another one that feels like a shrewd child of the light is Dorothy Day, and her quote specifically that says, reminds us, the world would be saved if we did as much for love that we do for money. What if we leveraged for light what the children of this age leverage for themselves, for their egos, for their power, for their whatever it might be? And she was a bohemian youth that turned into a revolutionary that started the Catholic, or helped start the Catholic worker movement. And she advocated for a revolution of the heart, arguing humanity's immense capacity for organization, sacrifice, and work that should be driven by the radical love rather than the ego-driven pursuit of money, fame, and power. Listen to her words here on mercy. I thought it fitting for us today. We have repeated so many times that those who have two coats should follow the early church fathers who said, the coat that hangs in your closet belongs to the poor. And those who have 10 room houses can share with those who have none. How many large houses could be made into several apartments to take in others? Much hospitality could be given to relieve the grave suffering today. There are many stories one could tell about Catholic worker life, but it is always better to wait until years have passed so that they become more impersonal, less apt to be identified with this one or that. But there is this one story, however, about a reader of the paper. And this happened long enough ago so that we can tell it. Our friend adopted a young girl and educated her. And the young girl proved to be a great joy and comfort. We have a few of those here. Now she has entered a contemplative order to spend her life in prayer and work. The same reader then took in another young woman who brought home a fatherless baby. And when that was forgiven her, went out and brought in still another. And there was apt to be a third. Our friend wrote and begged us for advice and help as to what to do. Was she contributing to the delinquency of this girl by forgiving 70 times 7? And was she perhaps going to have 70 times 7 children to take care of? Love must be tried and tested and proved. It must be tried as through by fire. And fire burns. What a shrewd and persistent and courageous thing to do with your life. I also reminded of another shrewd child of light named Wendell Berry and his line that said, if we are serious about peace, then we must work for it as ardently, seriously, continuously, and bravely as we have ever prepared for war. What if we, in our different crises individually, but also as a community of friends, we see change and we see a new generation on the horizon as an opportunity to get shrewd, as a shrewd awakening opportunity. Not just an opportunity to hunker down, freak out a little bit, and worry why this generation is so crazy, so weird, locanionly. But I'm also reminded of how shrewd other modern people who live in and with among us are. Reminds me of one in particular named Stephanie St. Cyr. The SS Express, I call her. Famous quotes from her. You're coming to camp or to youth group, whatever it may be. It's going to be great. You're coming. Rummage sale. Don't forget, there's a rummage sale you guys going on. What's stopping us? Group picture. Squish. These are famous quotes by the SS Express. Who persists. Even after COVID, losing her job working with college students for 11 years, she didn't see that as an opportunity to hunker down and get cozy and comfortable. She got a master's degree right after that and started teaching the next generation. She worked her way up the pipeline to Gen Alpha now with seventh graders. And the levy didn't pass and also got riffed for that too, but she persists. And she will have another job with youth and she will keep shrewdly taking these opportunities, these crises points, to keep learning, keep innovating, keep getting in people's faces and say, you're coming, and you're going to be a part of this, and you're going to belong, and it's going to be fun. Squish. I met another shrewd child of God the other day. So I was just going to say all that to say, youth and North Valley, you're in good hands with the shrewd child of light that Stephanie is. Yeah, you should give her a hand. She's pretty sweet. Another shrewd child of light that I just met the other day, or a couple weeks ago. He grew up across the Gulf of Mexico from me, Gulf of Mexico. And we both were experiencing a lot of hurricanes growing up, but he grew up in Puerto Rico and I grew up in Louisiana. We both grew up drummers, but he had a different kind of knack of drawing and grabbing people's attention than I did. And he became a great speaker and author. And I don't know if you ever heard of like the Toronto Blessing. You remember those years, the revivals of all that? He was like the worship leader for that thing. And he was on mega church staffs and he was in the religion business only to get himself in trouble constantly because he also had a knack for just saying what God was telling him to say. Stuff like, stop trying to sit at the tables Jesus flipped. Or if you are more fortunate than others, build a longer table, not a taller fence. And he would say things and he would point out things that weren't right in the religion business, the part that he was a part of. And it got him fired. just like the guy in Jesus' story, got him fired. Instead of asking, what am I to do? I should just go hunker down and sit on my gifts. He just started doing more shrewd things. And he started turning his books and his quotes into mugs and T-shirts and stickers and selling them online. And then next thing you know, Julia Roberts is wearing his T-shirt. And then next thing you know, there was a shooting in Las Vegas and a bunch of celebrities are wearing his T-shirts. And every time that would happen, like 60,000, 100,000 orders would come in. And instead of using all that to become rich and famous for himself, he started the Happy Givers, which is a farm. And he started to, I want to show you something. I'm going to try to be shrewd here and take over the screen with my phone. And he started the Happy Givers. And I got to visit him a couple weeks ago. And all that money from all that merch that people buy and wear, he takes all that to make a farm out of it. And they feed people constantly every day. The elders in their community who are still struggling and recovering from Hurricane Maria from just several years ago. And they started this community and are still doing it today. Let's repeat this first one. This is going to be some of our... You don't really have to be an influencer to be an influence. You have more power than you think to make a difference. I want to leverage that today for our time of open worship, for us to think as individual children of light, but also as a community of children of light, who, for many of us, we might be at a crossroads. We might be at a point generationally where we've been the big fish in a small pond for a little bit, and there's a next generation with AI and with their knack for not really liking church, and not really liking other things that we felt comfortable with. And it's stretching us. And we're looking at a new lake that we're not in charge of. And we're looking at a crisis of sorts as a group, as a community, as Christians, as children of light. And for waiting worship today, I want us to all ponder these things. What is this next moment of graduation for all of us? What is this time for? How can we turn a crisis point as an opportunity, a shrewd awakening, an opportunity to grow, to dig deep and become courageous, courageously clever, courageously innovative, and loving. And to do it for the love, not for the money. To do it for the peace, not for the power. Let's listen and sit still for a second in waiting worship with these prompts. And pray for our graduates. We wanted to finish this service with a prayer of blessing. So if I could embarrass you guys one more time, grads, if you could stand where you're at, and us to visibly demonstrate that we're in your corner. So everybody that's around them, if you could either point a hand at them, or if they're okay with you putting a hand on their shoulder, no dogpiling over here. But we want you to know visibly that I want you to know this is a shrewd little community. There's a bunch of therapists and artists and farmers and peace advocates and professors, and there's a bunch of people here that have shrewdly, innovatively turned their resources into working as a child of light in this world, and I think you can learn from them. And we have your back. We're in your corner. You can always come and talk to us, get coffee, worship with us anytime you want. And we want to send you off with a blessing. So receive these words of blessing and prayer over your life. And vicariously, all of us who are going through graduations of various sorts, let us pray for them. Creator God, life is short, and we do not have much time to gladden the hearts of all those who travel with us. So be swift to love and make haste to act with kindness and compassion. And may the blessing of Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer God be with you on this day, this season of your graduating to the next calling, the next part of your calling, and beyond and forevermore. May that be true for you and for all of us in this community as children of light. And everyone said, amen. Can we send them off with one more thing I learned from the amazing sports announcer, Sarah Boyd? It's called five booms. Okay, you point your hands at these guys and you give five booms really loud. On three, one, two, three. Boo, 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 boo. God bless you. Go in peace.